Would You Date Me? A podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could tell me you love me and then never text me again. And I'd say, maybe he'll text me one day. I'm in love. My guest today, you've seen him on Black-ish. You've seen him on Grown-ish. You've seen him on Angie Tribeca. He got a comedy special. It is Dion Cole. Hi, Dion. How are you?
How are you, beautiful? How are you?
Oh, beautiful. You thank you.
Yes, you are.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's all I ever want to hear from a man. You are beautiful. Thank you.
You are.
Thank you so much for doing this. How has the pandemic been for you? Are you touring? Are you home?
Yes. I haven't been doing nothing. That's it. I haven't been touring. I haven't been on stage. And February would be a year, which is unheard of for a comedian. You shouldn't even be on stage. Nothing less than 2 weeks is, and I went a whole year. So it's very weird. I am just shooting Black-ish, and that's about it, man. Mm-hmm. Just staying at home, trying to stay safe.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. March will be a year for me, and it's the most amount of time that I haven't been on a stage. And I did like a couple spots in December when everyone was like, it's not that bad, a couple outdoor shows, and then it got bad again, and I was like, okay, I gotta stay inside, can't be doing it.
Exactly. No, I haven't even tested the waters. I have no idea how it is. So
honestly, it felt good, but like, it's truly not worth it. It's not worth, you know, what might happen. Ugh, right. I'm done with it. I want that vaccine. Give it to me, please.
I don't know why they don't make us essential workers. I heard that we were, because we actually have medicine, which is laughter. Mm-hmm. Laughter's medicine. And then that's what we give to people. And I know it sounds all kind of cliche. You can make your own rhyme and reason up for it. But we are actually helping people cope.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we as comedians can't get vaccine shots.
I'm not sure why crews wouldn't be, not like ahead of anybody, but like, it's a lot of people who work together. So it's like, and it's close and... just like people are watching a lot of television. I mean, I don't want to be like, we're essential, but like, kind of. Like, what else are you going to do? You got to watch TV.
Like, put it like this. Like, if a singer goes, a singer has to bring crew, lighting, sound, mix. You got all of that.
Mm-hmm.
A comic just... bring his toiletries, and that's it. I mean, it's like, it's less people involved, and it's just like, and we're making people laugh. Like, songs make you feel good, but we're making people laugh. Like, we're making people laugh, and I'm not trying to be like, yeah, we're essential and shit, you know, not like that. I just think I got a good, legit argument about comedians being able to go out, and because we can go to hospitals and just be in hospitals and make people laugh and cheer them up and all of that. So I don't know. But mind you, I'm not saying we go before people over 65 and people with preconditions. Mm-hmm. No, let them go first. But you know, and that first group of regular people.
I would love to see a comic push someone out of the way and be like, move, you diabetic bitch. Let me get a vaccine. Move, bitch. Give it to me.
Right. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. Matter of fact, let's go to another subject. That's what we do. People be like, did you hear Dion say, get the old folks the fuck out of here?
I didn't realize at clubs, like on your rider, you can ask for shit and then they go get it. I had no idea until I can't remember what club it was, but the manager was like, you didn't have nothing in your rider, so we did X, Y, and Z. Da, 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 da. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, it just said that you liked vodka and that was it. And I was like, I could put more things. He was like, yeah. Then he was like, one comic, he asks for for fucking Air Force Ones every show, brand new ones.
Eddie Griffin.
Yep, I didn't want to say his name.
Yeah, Eddie Griffin's good. Yeah, he's known for that. Everybody knows that. He actually paved the way for us to get things like that.
I mean, I love it. Now I ask for tampons. I haven't paid for tampons in forever. And then some nice man has to be like, I didn't know what your flow was like. And I was like, don't fucking worry about it. Put it in my bag. I'm taking that shit home.
Hilarious.
What's on your rider? What do you ask for?
I don't have much. Like, mine is like fish, vegetables, fruit.
Oh, look at you. Healthy. Come on now.
Drinks for other people. You know, just drinks, whatever drinks for. But like if people came through, guests or whatever, drinks for them. And I'm simple, man. Sparkling water.
Ooh, I love me some LaCroix.
Yeah, me too. That's my choice.
Dion, are you single, dating, married? What is your relationship status?
Oh, I am just chilling, man. That's all I'm doing. I'm chilling. I don't have nobody or nothing like that. It's kind of hard to even try to find somebody, especially now with all of this going on. So, you know, if I was on the brink of something, pandemic shut all that down. So, I'm just chilling now, man. Just without nobody at all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm just like, it's too hard. How do you navigate it? I have to text you for forever till we're both vaccinated or like both, you know, pinky swear that we're not going to fuck nobody else. And it's like, I don't know what you do. I don't know what your business is.
Right. I was talking to a friend of mine, an actress, and she was like, yo, I'm letting my guy go. I can't take this no more. He come when he want to come, but then he leave when he want to leave. And, you know, I can't take this shit or whatever. And I was like, okay, then you're going to do what? You're going to go meet somebody else? She like this. Yeah, I ain't think about that. And I'm like, yeah. You might want to put up with that in and out.
I mean, for now, because it's just like, what are you going to do?
That in and out might be a good thing right now. She was like, I ain't thinking about that. But
yeah, people, before they make choices, sometimes just don't think about the whole fucking thing. Because it's like, it's a domino effect. You know, you let them go or whatever. Then you have to get back on the streets and looking for people in the streets. Is they die or nobody out in the streets. They at home.
Everybody at home. And you're going to pick somebody with a mask on and not really see them until y'all get y'all tests. And you about 15 phone conversations in and you starting to like this person and you see them without their mask. And you're like,
and that's a wrap. You're like, that's not the face I thought that was under there. I can't tell you how many times someone has like pulled down their mask to like say something. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe that's what you look like.
Get it all the time now, man.
I was on Instagram last night, you know, just wasting more time. Yeah. And I came across this this account that was like, we're going to empower you in your relationships. And I was like, oh, okay. And the first one was, worry less about if they like you and more about if you even like them. And I was like, I've never thought of that. Not one time have I ever been like, do I actually like this person? Do you have that where you're like, why don't they like me? Do they like me? Hilarious. And you're just never worried about yourself?
No, man, I can't. I'm so caught up into the moment that the moment dictates if there's another moment. And that's I don't even think about if I really like the person or not. It just depends on how that moment going. If that moment going and I'm like, oh, this is a cool person or whatever, then I have another moment with them and I'm like, yeah, this person's cool. Like, cool. I feel at ease. I feel at peace around this person. I don't have no stress or nothing. Then yeah, let me do it again. Then let me do it again. And that's how it is to me. But I don't sit back and be like, I wonder if I like this person, or I wonder if they like me. You know, like I don't. I'm so like into the moment. If the moment is off, I'm off, and I might not have another moment.
But you're like the second dude recently who's been like, oh, I live in the moment. Like, do I like them this moment? Like, do I think about them later? So then I'll call them. But like, I think a lot of women, or me personally, I don't think in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm to the next moment.
Right.
Kind of like with my career. Like, I enjoy the moments, but I'm like, how is this moment gonna help me to get to where I need to go for the future moment?
Yeah, see, mine is more like a pattern. I have to see a pattern. If I'm comfortable with this pattern, then I'll invest in it. But I have to see this pattern, and I have to see how you react in all these different moments too. I got to see how you are around other people in that moment. I also got to see the moment when you're by yourself. I got to see the moment when I'm gone for three months and I come back. All these moments, I got to see how you play out in these moments or whatever. Not how you envision it, because you can't envision something you ain't never been through. And each person that you deal with is a different person, which is a different situation. So therefore you cannot go, oh, well, this happened with this person, I can envision how it's going to happen over here. You can't, because that's you boxing a person, because you're doing more damage than they are, because you already putting in your mind this person's going to do this, that, and the third or whatever. So you can't box them. You have to live out the moment. And if that moment, you find yourself worthy of that moment, and that person does too, then you have another moment and you keep going. You know, I mean, that's just me and how I could, I mean, how I feel.
I mean, I like it. I think it takes a lot of pressure off if you're not thinking, oh, they're going to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, da, 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 what the last person did, where you're just like, this is a different person. How are you with this moment? Like, just moment to moment. I think that's a very good way to live in a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of women be thinking like, when you say I live in the moment, they mean like, yeah, you just want to have sex now, you want to go, whatever. And they don't have nothing to do with that. I mean, I'm far from, can I have sex with you? I'm far from that. I mean, if I'm not having sex right now, or when I feel like it, then that's on me. You know what I mean? But if that's what I want to do, then I could do it. But me personally, my time is greater than any cum that I could ever have.
Put it on a t-shirt. My time is greater than any cum.
Any cum I could ever have. I will waste time for a cum. Like, I've done that before. And the cum wasn't even worth all that time. It was like, what am I doing? So now, as I'm older, it's like, no, my time is way greater than that. So I have to vibe with you in a way that, you know, we get it, and we on our own page or whatever. A lot of people don't even be engaged in the person. They're more caught up into the relationship, or saying that they're in a relationship. They're more caught up in the same rather than the person too. You know, a lot of people don't even care about you. They just want to be in a relationship. They'd be like, they like serial relationship people, especially the people who can find somebody right after breaking up with you and they got somebody else. They're in love with love. They're not in love with the person. So that mean that they could be with anybody, because it's the love that they love.
Yeah, I don't understand people who can do that.
Yeah, people
just like jump from person to person. I'm like, but don't you want to take some time?
No, because
figure out who you are now after the relationship.
Yeah, because it don't have nothing to do with the person. It has to do with the feeling. People are in love with the feeling of love. They're in love with the feeling of relationship. They're in love with the feeling of telling somebody I got somebody. That's what they're in love with. They're not in love with they're not in love with the person, you know. And so that's how I feel. And a lot of times when it comes to meeting people too, like a lot of people don't know how to love you. They don't. They just do it the best they can. They're not trying to learn you. they're just trying to do what they can. You ever have somebody do something very sweet for you and they don't move you at all? But it's very, mm-hmm. it's very sweet though, and it's very kind, but it don't do shit for you at all. You're mm-hmm. like, you could have done without this shit. Like somebody bring you flowers or something. Like, I mean, like me personally, somebody give me some flowers. I'll be like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, no, I get it. Because sometimes you get something very nice or they do something very nice for you and you're like, whatever. But then there'll be like a little thing that you didn't think was going to be special that gets done for you. And you're like, oh my God, you know me. Right. You know, I would like the nice man who lives with me got me. So I like Forky from Toy Story 4, yeah. Toy Story 3. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little spork with eyes. And yeah, I think it's really funny. He bought me a teeny tiny little Forky guy. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, and it was supposed to fit in my croc, but it didn't have the thing to fit in my croc. It was like defective. And he was like, this is going to be a terrible gift, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. This is so sweet. Great. I will throw this away, but this is so kind. And it moved me in a way I did not expect.
No, but that's real. Like he's trying to love you. He's trying to learn you. I mean, what people are trying to learn you when they do that. And you got to get people to benefit of the doubt those few times or whatever. But overall, the majority of people, from my experience, don't know how to love me because mm-hmm. of whatever they think they need to do. That ain't what they need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if I love you, I need to accept all avenues of that in order to get the best you I can get. I can't have you. What is it called? Sporky? That's what you said?
Forky.
I can't like not give you Forky. I don't give a fuck about Forky, but I got to get Forky in order to get the best you I can get. You know what uh-huh. I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird and I'm talking crazy, but.
No, I don't know. I'm vibing with it. I think it makes sense. So the second thing, it was a bunch of slides. The second one was, rejection is not as personal as it feels. Liking someone or being liked is more about compatibility than inherent worth. And that spoke volumes to me because when I get rejected, I go, fuck, am I unlovable? What's wrong with me? Where it has nothing to do with me.
Right. No, it doesn't. Like, I feel like timing is everything. And so I always chalk everything up to that. I just go, I never go as me. I never go as me. I just go, the timing is messed up. This probably could have worked, but maybe God got something better for me. I can't be locked up into this and then something else come along, you know. It's like that in Hollywood. Like if you pray to God, oh, I want to be a TV star. I want to have a television show. And you get it. Here you go. Here you go, TV star. You go, great. And then Universal calls you and they want you to be in the new Avengers movie.
Uh-huh.
And you can't do it because the contract is for you to be a TV star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't get out of that. You're stuck in what you make yourself to be in. I mean, or what mm-hmm. you make yourself, however you make yourself to be or whatever, you know? And so it's good to kind of stay open, I guess.
Stay open. Yeah. Keep your heart open. Keep your mind open. Yeah, that's how I am with my career, but not with love. With my career, I'm like, I'm open to things.
But I think love, you don't think love is like that?
I think it is, and I'm not sure how to apply it for love. So, like, I've had a job once where it was like a pilot where I wasn't like fully in the series. It was like 6 out of 10 episodes or something, and they wanted me to be a series regular and I couldn't do anything else. And I was like, but if I lock into this, then I'm going to close a door to something where I might be featured more, and that might open a door to something else. So then I like didn't usually have like a talk with my, you know, reps or whatever, but I had no, like I thought about it for 10 seconds and I was like, no, I can't close the door of the unknown.
Right.
And I feel like in love, a lot of times I'm like, okay, let's close the door. You said you liked me on a Thursday, and by Friday you'll be my boyfriend.
Right.
And then by Saturday, you'll meet my friends, and Sunday you'll propose. Right. And then we'll go camping. And then you'll love me forever.
No. See, it's no, not at all. Not
nah.
Nah, let me help you out. No. No, it's not forcing it and just letting it happen. If it's going to happen, it's just going to happen. I know it sounds so cliche, but it is. It's like, just know that if it's not happening, that there's another door that's mm-hmm. waiting on you. And that's the analogy I was trying to make with the career thing. Like, you rushed to be a TV star, but then this movie career was waiting on you, but you rushed to go through this or whatever, you know? So you're like, if a situation ain't working relationship wise, it's just like, it's just not working. Like, it doesn't work. Like, you can force it to work, and people can change and they can do that. And you can see if that works. And if that does, then more power to you, whatever, you know? But if it doesn't work, it just doesn't work. And just man, move on, because it's going to happen. And the level you on in life is going to dictate who you with too, because you might rush and go get you somebody that's good for this level mm-hmm. when you right. And then 2 years later, you go here. That person was only good for this. That person that wasn't good for this. The person that's good for this, you ain't meet him yet. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So you got to watch who you bring with you on your journey too. And you got to make sure that this person is willing to be on a journey, because the way that you are now, what you're doing right now, I promise you, you're not going to be doing this. You might not even be talking to me in 2 years. Like, you might see me somewhere and be like, hey, Dion, how you doing? You good? Good. Good to see you. Good. You doing well? That's great. All right. Take it easy. And you the fuck out of there. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
because that's where your time takes you. Your time is taking you to whatever premiere, whatever, to writing session, whatever the fuck you're doing, you're going to be doing that. So the level that we on now, we ain't going to be on this level in 2 years. We not. We going to be on a different level. It's going to be a respect level. It's always going to be respect, but mm-hmm. we going to be different. And that's the same thing with your relationships. Whoever you bring along, you better believe they either got to know that your success and what you in love with, which is your career, your stand up, whatever, that is going to change. And with that, situation is going to change. And if they're willing to rock with that, then cool. If not, don't fuck with them.
Mm-hmm. The third one is, stop choosing what isn't choosing you. If it's not mutual, why pursue it? I have such an issue with this one. I don't, for whatever reason, if somebody is like, I like you, I go, ew, why? And if someone goes, I don't want to be in a relationship right now, I don't think this is working, I go, but please. And then that's the, like, if there was a fork in the road, I'm going for the person who's like, no, thank you. And I'm like, but I can make you love me. And I don't know why I do that.
That's hilarious. I mean, I chalk it up to just you want what you can't have. That's mm-hmm. just what it is. And it goes back to being a kid. It's the same shit. It's yeah. like what's forbidden, you want. Like, if I tell you don't think of pizza right now, you're thinking of pizza.
All I'm thinking about is pizza.
So it's that whole forbidden thing that you don't want. I know a guy, this guy, right? He's a gay dude, right? And he only likes straight men. And he is miserable because he can't find no straight men. I mean, he has. Mm-hmm. He said he has done it before, but the majority of his life, he cannot find a straight man that's just going to be with him and him only. Mm-hmm. Which is trippy to me, because I'm like, okay, after you be with him, he's no longer straight, right?
Yeah, then the allure is gone.
So then you're gone? Do you leave him?
I think that's a lot of internalized hate and a lot of like just fucked upness in that thought process. But to be like, I only like straight men, but if he's fucking you, he's not straight.
You don't want
so him. Where are you going after that?
And you're the asshole. That's it.
Yeah.
But it's that thing about just, you know, back to what I was saying, people want what they can't have, and they're into that, like totally.
What advice would you give me? So, okay, say let's fast forward a year, 6 months. The pandemic's done. We're back in these streets. We're looking for dudes. We're looking for people. What is a good way to capture someone's attention? You seem like a good flirt. So, like, what's a good flirting tip?
When we back.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I know it's going to be a baby boom out this motherfucking world. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to predict anything, it is going to be a baby boom out of this goddamn world. It is going, condoms are going to go through the roof. And no condoms are going to go. If they sell no condoms, that's going to go through the roof. But as far as like a flirt, man, I don't think it's going to take much. It ain't going to take much.
You think just people are down, they're ready?
I think people are going to be like, yo, what's up? What's up? Let's go to the bathroom.
Let's go to the bathroom. We don't even have to go home. I can't wait. I don't want a car ride. Let's go to the bathroom. When you were touring on the road and whatnot, do you have chuckle fuckers? Do you have like people who throw themselves at you after shows? Dion, you're so funny. Oh my God. So like, I'm also in a hotel. You want to come?
Yeah, hell yeah, we got that. Yeah, we got that all the time. Like every city. Yeah.
Oh, what a dream. I don't, a lot of, most of the female comics I talk to are like, not really. It doesn't really happen.
A lot of female comics, they, from what I've noticed, they keep themselves distant. You know, they don't, mm-hmm. they go to the after party with a crew of people and then they go to their room. And they have to go to their room and then that's it. Now, whatever they do secretly, whatever fucking hotel room car key they dropped on the floor on the way out and somebody picked it up and who they've been eyeing all night, I don't know about that. But the majority of female comics, they tend to stay to themselves. Like, they don't put themselves in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Men comic, on the other hand, jeez. I know some comics that I go, I can't fuck with you. and I'm a man. I'm like, look, dude, I'm going. You would fuck my night up. I'm going home. I'm going home. Because you're doing too much. Ting too much. Just doing too much.
Another thing on this little Instagram-y thing says, ask yourself, would you be friends with this person if you weren't physically attracted to them? Be honest. And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess they were just pretty. And then I got a little dickmatized and no, thank you. I don't really like your personality.
Like, I don't know. I'm a weird kind of guy, man. I'm different with mine. Like I said before, I'm all about just, I'm the kind of guy where you can have this very, and I don't even know if I'm answering your question, but you can have like this seductive ass woman and she could be right in my face and I would probably see her, but then I'll like,
mm-hmm.
I'll see her and then that'd be it or whatever, but that wouldn't catch my eye. My eye will be caught in conversation. Like I see mm-hmm. beauty, but whatever come out your mouth after that, dictates if I stay or go. So it's not your beauty. It's not your beauty if you stay or go. Or it's not how your looks, period, don't dictate if I stay or go. It's what you say. And if you come with something quick with it or something like that, without trying to be funny too, mm-hmm. like that'll keep me around.
So natural quick wit.
It's like just not even without trying, you just being who you are and just and just in the pocket and just not trying to be witty, but being witty without trying. I don't know. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. One of your bits is about the worst threesome you've ever had. And that joke to me, the way you describe the woman who comes to the hotel room made me laugh so hard. How much of that was true and how much did you, you know, embellish a little?
The whole joke was true.
The part
that was not true was me being like, y'all ain't fucking me, or like what I was saying at the end, but the whole thing was true. Mm-hmm. Like, this chick was like, yo, I'm gonna get my girl, and yo, we gonna get in. I'm like, man, bet, let's do it. And we were at a bar, and she called a girl up to come to the bar. And so I'm waiting on her to come, and we both waiting on her to come. And we sitting there talking. She having drinks and stuff, and this chick walk in. And I'm looking at her walk in, and I'm like, damn, she tall the motherfucker. I was like, I instantly was like, I bet she a center. That's what I said. I said, I bet she plays center. Not knowing she coming to the table. Mm-hmm. And then she just walked right over to the table. Old girl got up. She was like, hey, girl, and hugged her. And I was like, wait a minute. She sat down and she was like, yo, what's up? What's going on? And like looking at me and shit. And was like, all right. I'm over there pulling my shirt down.
I love that you didn't ask to see a picture of this person.
I did not, because I was so like, threesome? Yes, let's do it. Like, I wasn't even, but I did ask her though. I said, is she pretty? She was like, yeah, and she was. She was pretty. She was very pretty. Mm-hmm. She just was had a pants sag and then came in the way she came in. Like, and you don't think about that. You know, you think of a threesome, you never thought that the girl would be as the one was that came. So yeah, that was a true story. And my opener, he was busting. He laughed about that like for 3 days. 3 days straight, he would just look at me and just bust up laughing. I'd be like, fuck you, dude. He'd be like, yo, that is the, before I even did it on stage, he would just laugh and be like, dude, you gotta talk about that. And I was like,
It's a really funny bit. It made me laugh. Like, you just paint this woman in a way where I was like, I know exactly who she is. I know how she came in. I know what she sounded like. Like, yeah, right. I miss being on the road. Like, stories from the road are just, they're so funny. Like, the funniest shit happens when you're just like out and about trying to live your life.
Yeah.
And just the weirdness comes to you. It's the best. I miss it.
It's nothing like it, you know, and it's different. It's different from rock stars in a sense. I mean, it's the same, but it's not. But like singers and stuff like that, it's kind of different because like they have a whole bunch of people around them. They alienate them. And comics can go anywhere they want to. You know what I mean? Even if you're a big comic, like you come in with a hat on, ain't nobody really going to know you in the room. You know what I mean? Like you can go anywhere. So your role stories are a little bit more colorful than one that is, it's got security everywhere and the manager and the role manager and the run, you know, all of that. So yeah. Comic role stories are different. I have this thing that I did at the beginning of the pandemic. No, it wasn't even before the pandemic. I had this thing called Real Role Stories that I do, and they're on YouTube, and they're called Real Role Stories, and I tell a whole bunch of stories. I've been doing it for a while. Yeah, way before the pandemic I was doing. Yeah. So I tell my stories and put them on YouTube.
I love it. How did you get into comedy, which is probably a boring question, but I'm always curious.
A friend of mine bet me $50 to go on stage, and I did it and never looked back. But yeah, it was just that simple. I was never no funny dude. Never was like the class clown. You wouldn't know I had a different way of thinking unless you knew me. I wasn't accessible to people like that. I wouldn't come around a gang of people and be the life of the party. I would be that guy in the back of the room, just sitting there chilling, scoping it out, just listening.
How old were you when you took that bet?
Like 22, I think. Okay. Like 23, I think.
I love that. I just love fearless people that are like, bet, yeah, I'll do it. I'll get up on stage, whatever. Give me that money.
It just made sense. I don't know why it made sense to me. It was so far-fetched than anything I've ever done. But I just knew my friends used to always be like, boy, you are a fool. Like, you're a fool. Like, why would you say that? Or why would you think that? And I'd be like, because it makes sense to me. But I wouldn't say it in a way to make them laugh. I was saying it because that's how I really felt about something, even though they would laugh. Mm-hmm. And my friend was like, man, I bet you $50 you won't go up there. I was like, and say what? And he was like, tell the story about this, 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 and this. And I was like, okay. And so I went down to the comedy club. And I seen these comedians, and I just was like, I could do that shit. Like, I'm funnier than that. You know, I was like, I'm funnier than that.
Did you tell the stories on stage that your friend told you to tell?
Yeah, I told a couple of them.
You should have kicked him back 10% for being your manager and helping you out with your act.
Oh, I gave him his money. Yeah, I big gave him his money back. No, but I didn't get on stage the first night I went down there. Not for the first 3 weekends. They wouldn't let me on stage. And so every weekend that I went there, I began to think about other stories, or I started thinking about other things that I thought differently about. And I just wrote them all down. And then when they finally let me on stage, I went up there and never looked back.
I think my favorite thing is a comic's point of view. And I don't think, like, I read books and stuff early in my career to be like, how does one write a joke? And all of it was like point of view. And I never understood it till I saw this one girl tell a story. And as I was listening, I was like, this is a funny story, but you have zero point of view about it.
Right.
Like, you're just retelling me something funny that happened, but like the jokes are your point of view.
Right.
And yeah, I just think strong comics have a very strong point of view.
No, absolutely. Because you can take a story and you can make it your own. And because it's your own, it makes it unique and it makes it different in a way that can't nobody else tell it. Like, and all comics, like you said, all comics are like that. Like, I always say this, the movie Ace Ventura, if you gave that script to 5 comedians, you will have the same script. You will have 5 different Ace Venturas.
Yes.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that same way when it comes to like our stand up or whatever. It's like the way that you tell something. That's why a lot of comics don't really make it neither, because how are you telling this story? Like, you're just telling me a story. And then some comics can't even tell a story. So what they do is they embark on being, what's that word I want to say? They embark on being kind of like, sarcastic.
Ironic detachment.
Ironic detachment type thing. And it's like, and they feel like that's what makes them funny. And it's like, that's cool, but your whole set shouldn't be that. You know, mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, your whole set shouldn't be that. And that shouldn't be what you're about, because you don't have any type of personality in you. So therefore you result to this. And I just don't think that that's comedy like that. You could have that in your repertoire, but you have to also give us you. You have to show us who you are as a person. So I'll know if this shit you're saying is believable or not. You know, you can't just give me a slew full of fucking jokes and I'm supposed to think that you funny. Anybody can tell these shits. I can write this shit for an actor. An actor can do that.
Yeah, that's like the difference between like roast jokes and like someone's actual set. Because it's like, you're roasting. Anybody can say your joke.
Anybody.
But like, nobody can do your joke from your act.
Exactly, exactly. And it's proven so many times with so many different comedians. It's like it just isn't gonna work, and it does not work.
Real quick, Dion, we have to take a break. And we're back. Real quick, before we go, what advice do you have for me personally in my search for love?
I would hate to give you advice. I would hate to give you advice. I promise you, because my advice never works, man. My advice keeps people very lonely. Yeah. No, but I mean, if I had to say anything, all I would say is, be you. Don't change for nobody. It's gonna come. Your career is going to dictate your level. Your level is gonna dictate who you around. Whoever you get now probably ain't ready for the level that you're gonna be on. So remember that.
I think that's great advice. I have a question. Are you in therapy? You seem very grounded, serene, and in touch with your humanity.
No, I'm not in therapy. No, I'm just, you know, I'm just a realist, man, where I'm just like, it has to make sense to me. I'm all about simplicity and sense, and it don't take much with me. It's like the less is more. And if I can, if I can understand something in two sentences, then, you know, that's me. I'm the type of person where if I ask you where you at, I'm not putting a question mark, because that's just extra work. Like, like, you get it when I said where, right? Right? Yep. What I need the question mark for?
That's a very funny way to describe yourself. I like it simple. Yes, no question marks.
No, it's just, I put where there. You should figure it out after I put where in there.
I ask all my guests this question. You're no different. Would you date me?
I would. You want me to, and I'm going to tell you why I would. Because the way that you think is totally different, and it's intriguing, and it's intriguing. I know our conversations would go broader than fucking and all of that. And I think that we would disagree so much too that we would end up agreeing and learning and coming up with all kinds of fucking material and all kinds of shit like that, because we're from two different worlds. But not only be from two different worlds, respect each other's worlds and learn from it. And that's that kind of shit that I'm like, you know, attracted to, where I'll be like, where a conversation can go way longer than the fuck. And that's why I say, when I see somebody, that's cool. And if they look good, that's attractive, great. But what you say after that dictates if I stay or go.
Where'd you grow up?
Chicago, Southside.
That's where my family lives.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
My sister, well, I won't say it. I'll tell you after where she lives. Well, Dion, thank you so much for doing this.
Mad love, and thank you. And keep rocking, man. You with the family, Conan. That's my family, Jeff.
I love him so much. Yo, he's truly so good to me.
That is my brother for the rest of my life. That brother changed my life, and he's a great guy. And you were good people, and keep rocking with them. And Jeff and Andy and the whole crew. So mad love, and welcome to the family, sister. Keep killing it too.
Thank you, Dion.
You're doing your thing, definitely. And keep your foot on their necks. Man, keep doing it.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe. You can leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you write a review hitting on me, saying something nasty, I will read it. So this nice person said to me, I want to eat you like a crab. Pull your legs apart and eat the middle.
And you said...
I didn't respond. I like screenshot things. I skim them and I don't read them until I read them on the podcast. Oh, but that one really made me laugh. All right, Dan, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
My love.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.